the desert mothers and fathers, left the cities and towns. We heard last week that they went far away so that they might not be the least bit distracted and they might learn to love God. But among them, Anthony, the first we have recorded words of, the first of the desert fathers, taught them that the love of God was inextricably linked to the love of others. And so, another father, Abba Evagrius, taught them that they had to love like this. The love that's described in 1 Corinthians 13, that which we talked about last week. They were to love just like this, but as you heard, they couldn't, and they struggled, and they felt failed. And Abba Evagrius told them, no, this is how God loves you. And not until you sit, not until we sit and soak up that kind of love of God, not until we understand ourselves as worthy and beloved and lovable, not until we have absorbed into every fiber of our being that God is not arrogant or rude, that God's love for us is patient and kind, that God's love knows no end, we're not able to love others. And so Evagrius said, sit until you feel yourself turning into flame. Sit until you feel God's love so full and real in the recesses of your body that you cannot help but love others. Only then, he said, will we be ready to love in the pattern and in the model that Jesus taught. Only then will we be ready to be friends with the world in the way Jesus was friend to us. Another desert father, Abba Zeno, described Christ-like friendship by using the story you heard David tell from John 11. The desert fathers prized friendship, but friendship of a sort. And it seems we might benefit from hearing about that because in our culture we live between these poles of rugged individualism, I need no one, and Facebook where I have 10,483 friends. So what is friendship? The way Jesus would have us understand it. What was Abba Zeno trying to teach? You see in that story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, I want to use Mary and Martha as the godly examples of friendship. Yes, I know I could use Jesus, but there's something about the sisters' stories that lifts a new understanding of the kind of friendship that existed among the desert mothers and fathers and might be a blessing to us. You see, in the first place, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, you heard David read it. It's 2 miles between Bethany and where Jesus is, but he does not rush. He takes 4 days to get there. And when he arrives, I love my sister Martha. She comes out to meet him. And David read it so beautifully. But I think Martha said, where were you? Why didn't you show up? If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Then I think Jesus must have looked at her. And she said, I know. You've told us that we will live in eternal life, but where were you? Martha's behavior exemplifies one of the first important things about real friendship. In real friendship, we can speak from our hearts to one another. In real friendship, we can tell the truth. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of truth that lets me put one hand on my hip and the other finger in your face and tell you what I think about you. No, that's not the truth I'm thinking of. This truth, which is exemplified in that story, is the truth of what is important to the maintaining of this relationship. I trusted you, Jesus. I relied on you, Jesus. We sent word and you did not come. In true friendship, we can speak the truth that is in us in love, unafraid that a true friend will turn away. You heard it from the Proverbs. Even when a friend wounds you, that friend, that true friend, means well. What Mary and Martha, at least Martha in this place, teaches us is when we speak that truth, then we put it out there so that the one who is our friend might respond. Too many friends harbor resentment and anger because they just don't want to say this because it might hurt their feelings. Too many people live with that, not here, not trusting the friendship, and therefore not allowing the friend to respond. Too many people resent and will not speak. But in true friendship, you can, from the heart, from that place, speak to a friend and trust that what is foundational in the relationship, as words are spoken in love, will build it up, not destroy it. Martha does not mince words. Where were you? She speaks out of the fullness of her truth and her heart. That's the first mark of real friendship. And the second mark? The second mark is to hold Jesus accountable. Even Mary, who speaks very little in the text, when she hears that Jesus is nearby, comes out and asks the same question. Lord, where were you? You have told us about your love for us. In fact, in the first line of John 11, it calls Lazarus Jesus' friend. If you had been a real friend, I'm holding you accountable to the definition, Jesus, you've given us for friendship. Real friendship can hold each other accountable. It is not true that in real friendship anything goes. It is not true that if you watch a friend hurting themselves, if you watch a friend moving in a way that is not of God, anything does not go. That we have ways of living as followers of Christ, and we can offer those guidelines in love always to those who are around us. Mary and Martha both held Jesus accountable for his slowness. Both held him accountable for his absence. And they're not the only ones who hold the divine one accountable. I love the fact that in the Exodus text, in the Genesis text, when God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham argues with him, bargains with him, and says, I'm holding you accountable. These are your creation. If there's one righteous person, you don't get to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Moses held God accountable. When the people in the Exodus were acting up and Moses said, I cannot rule these people. God, they are your folk. Do something. And God sends many to walk alongside Moses so that he does not have to rule alone. But my favorite holding God accountable is in the book of Job, when we learn that Job is a righteous man and all of this calamity befalls him. And about halfway through that story, when his friends are saying to him, you must have done something wrong, Job does not address them. Job looks to heaven and says, God, you need to show up right now. I've got a bone to pick with you. The text actually says, I wish to try my case before you because I am innocent. Throughout the text, God is not afraid of us saying to God, here's what I think you promised and here's what I need. I can hold you accountable. In true friendship, we speak our truth in love. In true friendship, we hold one another accountable. And the third thing, in true friendship, there is a mutuality of need. If you have a friend who does nothing for you ever, who never sees your need, that person may not be a friend. I love in this text that Mary and Martha need Jesus. We get that. They need him because their brother is dead. But did you hear the beginning of that text? This death is not about his death. This death is so that I might show the glory of God. Jesus needed them in that circumstance to show God's glory. Jesus needed them to trust him and to believe him. He needed them to be in that circumstance so that when Lazarus got up, they would have a story to tell. In fact, if you read the next chapter, chapter 12, there's a party going on and Lazarus is there. There's a testimony that Mary comes and washes Jesus' feet with her hair and with ointment. There's a story that gets told. He needed them to tell that story. He needed some enfleshed being to say, the divinity that is Jesus comes down to humanity and is blessing as we walk together. There is a mutuality of need. Yes, they needed Jesus, but Jesus needed them. And in this world, our God needs us. You may be the only Bible somebody reads. Just like Maurice was watching, someone else is watching. God needs enfleshed bodies to move out in the world and to share that love, to be that presence of peace, to offer hope, to walk alongside and journey. Can Jesus show up and do it on his own? Without question. But you and I are called. We're part of that great understanding of where two or three are gathered. We're part of that great story of being filled by God's Spirit, the temple of the Holy Spirit, you and I, that we might go into the world and be for someone what they need, just like we have need. Speak truth from the heart in love. Hold one another accountable in love. Understand the mutuality of need. And the fourth mark that's shown in that story, the fourth mark of a great friendship is to desire the same things. Now, I'm not talking about if you're going to be my friend, you have to like sushi, although that helps. I am not talking about if you want to be my friend, you have to root for the New England Patriots, because I know that's not going to happen. I'm not talking about those superficial things. I'm not even talking about values. You and I might both value honesty and integrity and openness and kindness. We might both honestly value those things, but that does not make us friends. That fourth mark, that desiring the same thing, is to be inextricably connected in love, just like Anthony said. Where your well-being is important to me and my well-being is important to you. And the way we express that is to desire for the friend the same thing that God desires. To desire your healing, to desire your wholeness, to desire your peace deep down inside, to desire a life lived with the shalom, with the peace and the enough that comes from God. To be true friends is to have that desire for the same thing, that God's gracious reign of mercy and love and hope, God's patience and God's faith and God's gentleness, the fruits of the Spirit would be over your life and in your being. Those are the marks of friendship, and we see them. Jesus wanted for Lazarus full life. Jesus wanted for Mary and Martha to believe deep down in their beings. And they wanted the same thing. And at the end of the story, it happens. Lazarus, come forth. Beloved, friendship is godly. It is a gift from on high. And yet it is so easy for us to play fast and loose with it. But it is a blessing. And I would invite each of us to think about the ways in which we befriend our circle, but not stop there. To move beyond that. We're talking about this in Sunday school right now, but how we befriend the world with those same marks. Befriending the world by speaking truth. Befriending the world by holding accountable. Befriending the world by a mutuality of need and desiring the great things of God for all of creation. It's a large task, but it is a task that is given into our hands. This morning in Sunday school, one among us said, I'm not sure I can do this. It's just so much. And I smiled because what I wanted to say in Sunday school is, you know what? When you feel like you're just not able to live in that space and befriend the world or the person next to you, and it happens, go back and do what Father Evagaris told us, told the desert mothers and fathers. When you don't have the capacity to really be that friend, go back and let God love you again. Let God fill you again. Soak up the things that God desires for you, because that same friendship we're being invited to have with the world, God has for us. Go back and say, I am worthy. I am lovable. And God, you called me friend. In the Gospel of John, Jesus said, I don't call you servants anymore. I call you friend. You are a friend of the one who gave his life on the cross. You are beloved and worthy in his sight. And so when it's hard to be a friend, and it is some days, say, I need you to love me up again. I need you to fill me up again. I need you to make me know how special I am to you. So with that energy, I can go out and share it with someone else. Oh God, you call us, just like in that story, to understand the true nature of friendship. You call us to come with empty hands so you can teach us more. Or you call us to come with open arms so you can fill us with the right understanding of friendship. You call us to come with grateful hearts because we are first and foremost your friend, with hungry souls so you can show us how to be friends in the world, for the world, in your name. And just like the choir sang, we will trust you to do that in our lives. Jesus, when we are unable to be friendly or friend material, love us so deeply until we are filled and ready again to be your ambassador in the world. Oh God, this we pray in your Son's name. Amen.